Hello, and welcome to History Around Us, your GCSE revision podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and over the next 10 minutes, we're going to master one of the most unique and rewarding parts of your OCR GCSE history course, the local site study. Whether your site is a medieval castle, a Tudor manor house, a Victorian workhouse, or an industrial mill, the skills you need are exactly the same. And by the end of this episode, you'll know precisely how to use those skills to earn top marks. So let's get started. Section 1. What is the local site study? The local site study is part of OCR's component called History Around Us. It's worth 25% of your total GCSE, so it really matters. The big idea is this. Your site is a primary source. The walls, the windows, the layout, all of it is evidence. Your job is not to write a guidebook. Your job is to be a historical detective using the physical remains of the site to answer historical questions. OSHA examiners are very clear about this. They want you to treat the material remains, the actual stones, bricks, and beams, as evidence for historical arguments. This is what separates a grade 4 answer from a grade 8 or 9. Let me give you an example. Imagine your site is a castle. A weaker candidate might write, "The castle has thick walls and towers." That's description. A stronger candidate writes, "The presence of machicolations, the projecting stone parapets with holes through which defenders could drop missiles, indicates that the castle was constructed primarily for military defense, reflecting the instability of the Norman period following the conquest of 1066. Do you hear the difference? Specific vocabulary, a causal link, a national context. That's what earns marks. Section 2. Understanding the assessment objectives. Before we go further, let's talk about how your work is marked, because this shapes everything you write. There are three assessment objectives for this component. AO1 is worth 40% of the marks. This is your knowledge and understanding, knowing specific facts, dates, names, and architectural terms about your site. AO2 is worth 30%. This is your ability to explain and analyze, to say why things happened, how the site changed, and what caused those changes. AO3 is also worth 30%. This is your source and interpretation skills, evaluating photographs, maps, written accounts, and historical interpretations about your site. Notice that AO1 is the biggest slice. This means you must memorize specific details. Vague answers will not score well. Examiners award marks for precision. Section 3, the 5 pillars of site analysis. I want to give you a framework, a mental checklist that you can apply to any question about your site. I call it the 5 pillars. Pillar 1, physical features. What are the specific architectural or structural features of the site? Use precise vocabulary. Don't say old windows, say lancet windows, characteristic of early English Gothic architecture dating to the 13th century. Don't say big entrance, say a fortified gatehouse with a portcullis groove indicating defensive priorities. Pillar 2, chronological phases. Most sites have multiple phases of construction or use. A castle might have a Norman Mott and Bailey phase, a later Stonekeep phase, and then a Tudor domestic conversion. Being able to identify and date these phases and explain what caused each transition is essential for high marks. Pillar 3, function and change. What was the site originally built for? How did its function change over time? A monastery dissolved during the Reformation in the 1530s under Henry VIII might have been converted into a private house. The physical evidence of that change, blocked doorways, new fireplaces, altered windows, is your evidence. Pillar 4, national context. This is absolutely crucial. Every change at your local site connects to a national event or trend. The Reformation, the Civil War, the Industrial Revolution, the Victorian era. Examiners specifically credit responses that link local physical changes to national historical developments. The phrase, "this is evident in the text," is your best friend here. Use it constantly to force yourself to connect your argument to physical evidence. Pillar 5, social groups. Who lived, worked, or visited the site? What were their experiences? High-level answers consider the diversity of people, lords and servants, monks and laybrothers, factory owners and workers, and use physical evidence to infer their different experiences. A servant's staircase, a separate entrance, cramped attic rooms, these are all evidence of social hierarchy. Section 4, key architectural vocabulary. Let me run through some essential vocabulary that you must know. These terms will impress examiners and earn you AO1 marks. Machicolations, projecting stone parapets at the top of a tower or wall, with openings through which defenders could drop stones or boiling liquid on attackers. evidence of military function.
Lancet windows, tall, narrow windows with a pointed arc, characteristic of early English Gothic architecture from the 12th and 13th centuries. Evidence of ecclesiastical or high-status construction.
Crenellations. The tooth-like battlements along the top of a castle wall. A license to crenellate was granted by the crown, having them indicated royal favor and high status.
A garderobe is a medieval toilet, typically built into the thickness of a wall with a shaft dropping to a pit or moat.
Evidence of domestic occupation.
A great hall is the central communal space of a medieval house or castle, used for eating, entertainment, and the administration of justice. Its size and decoration indicate the status of the owner. A curtain wall is the outer defensive wall of a castle, connecting the towers. Its thickness and height indicate the level of military threat anticipated. A motte and bailey is the earliest form of Norman castle. A raised earthen mound, the motte, topped with a wooden or stone tower, adjacent to an enclosed courtyard, the bailey. Evidence of rapid Norman conquest and control. Perpendicular Gothic is a later medieval architectural style characterized by large windows with vertical tracery and fan vaulting. It flourished in the 15th century and indicates wealth and confidence. A Victorian wing is an addition made during the 19th century, often in a Gothic Revival style, indicating the site's continued use and the Victorian fascination with medieval history. Consolidation is the process of stabilizing ruins to prevent further decay without restoring them. Many sites managed by English Heritage or CAD de Dieu have been consolidated, which affects how we read the physical evidence. Section 5, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Now, let's talk about the exam itself. This is where candidates lose marks and where you can gain them. The most common mistake, and I cannot stress this enough, is writing a guidebook. Candidates describe the site chronologically, telling its story from beginning to end without ever addressing the actual question. Examiners call this narrative without analysis. It will not score above level 2, no matter how much you know. The second most common mistake is discussing historical events without referencing physical remains. If you're writing about the English Civil War and your site was a royalist stronghold, you must reference the specific physical evidence, the sliding of the walls, the filled-in moat, the damaged gatehouse, not just the events of the war. Third, using generic language. Old walls and big rooms will not earn marks. You must use precise architectural vocabulary. This is why learning those 10 key terms I just gave you is so important. Fourth, failing to distinguish between original function and later modifications. Examiners specifically credit responses that show awareness of how a site has changed over time. A building that started as a monastery became a private house after the Reformation, was used as a prison during the Civil War, and is now a tourist attraction has a complex history. And your answer should reflect that complexity. Now, some positive tips. First, memorize at least 10 specific physical details of your site and pre-plan how each one evidences a different theme: defense, domesticity, status, religion, industry. This preparation will serve you in any question. Second, always link the local to the national. Every time you mention a change at your site, ask yourself, what national event caused this? The Reformation of the 1530s. The dissolution of the monasteries between 1536 and 1541, the English Civil War of 1642 to 1651, the Industrial Revolution from roughly 1760 to 1840, the Victorian era. These are your national pegs. Third, when answering significance questions, consider three layers separately: local significance, national significance, and physical significance. A site might be locally significant because it was the seat of a powerful family, nationally significant because it played a role in a major historical event, and physically significant because it preserves rare architectural features that survive nowhere else. Fourth, use the phrase, "This is evident in the constantly." It forces you to connect every historical claim to physical evidence. It's a habit that will transform your answers. Section 6, Quickfire Recall Quiz.
Right, let's test what you've learned. I'll ask a question, pause, and then give you the answer. Ready?
Question 1. What is the term for a projecting stone parapet with holes used for dropping missiles on attackers? The answer is machicolations. Question 2. Which national event in the 1530s caused many monasteries to be dissolved and converted to private houses? The answer is the Reformation, or more specifically, the dissolution of the monasteries under Henry VIII between 1536 and 1541. Question 3. What are the three assessment objectives for the history around us component, and what percentage is each worth? AO1, knowledge and understanding, is 40%. AO2, explanation and analysis, is 30%. AO3, source and interpretations, is 30%. Question 4. What is the difference between a motte and a bailey? A motte is the raised earthen mound, usually topped with a tower. A bailey is the enclosed courtyard adjacent to the motte. Question 5. Name three things you should consider when evaluating a source about your site. Content, what the source tells us. Provenance, who created it, when, and why. And limitations, what it doesn't tell us or what biases it might contain. Section 7, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The local site study is about treating your site as a primary source. Every physical feature is evidence. Your job is to use that evidence to build historical arguments, linking local changes to national events, distinguishing between phases of construction, and considering the experiences of different social groups. Remember the five pillars: physical features, chronological phases, function and change, national context, and social groups. Remember your architectural vocabulary. And remember the golden rule: never describe when you can analyze. The phrase that will transform your answers is, "This is evident in the." Use it in every paragraph to anchor your argument to physical evidence. You've got this. The site you've studied is unique, and your knowledge of it is your greatest asset. Go into that exam confident, specific, and analytical. Good luck, and keep exploring history around you. See you next time.